On this week's Press Box Podcast, we're going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. A couple of things have happened here in the last few days that we certainly need to touch on. And for that, we bring in Brian Feldman. He's a Cardinals reporter for 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Brian, you also help us out during the season. Thanks for your time. Your station's doing pretty well.
Yeah, things have gone really well so far for us lately. Now I'm moving up the ratings board, so hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, FM Sports in St. Louis, I mean, it's a great idea, and it's certainly catching on. So, all right, let's talk, because we've got a couple of big stories. First, Mark McGwire comes out yesterday and admits what I think a lot of us already knew, but it's something that he needed to do, admits that he took steroids. What do you think the reaction around St. Louis is going to be here in the next couple of days?
It's total relief is what it is. I mean, you touched on it. Everybody had an idea, not even just had an idea. Everybody knew we were just waiting for him to come out and say it. And it's obvious that the reason it took him so long to come out with this is just total pure embarrassment. And he was trying to find a way to come out and just do this and get it over with. But everybody knew what it was, what he was going to say. We didn't know exactly when he used and how he used and exactly how everything went down. But to know that here it is, it's out in the open, there it is, say whatever you want one last time and get over it is just relief that we can finally move on. And one of the guys that was a big icon here in St. Louis is finally getting over his big hump that he was trying to get past.
Does he have to do this to get back into baseball, or is this just a product of moving on with his life? I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, what he's trying to do is he wanted to get back into the game of baseball. And he put himself into a self-imposed exile pretty much for 5 years, essentially, since that infamous, I'm not here to talk about the past, at his congressional hearing. And once he was named a couple months ago as the full-time hitting instructor for the St. Louis Cardinals, it was quite obvious there was no way that he was going to be working full-time in baseball and not coming out to talk about this. It was too much of that hanging over his head. So in order to get back into baseball, he had to do this. Now, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, I believe him when he says this has nothing to do with it, because, I mean, baseball has taken its stance, essentially, against steroid use. And whether or not he had come forward or not, most people believe, and everybody with Hall of Fame votes have said, this isn't going to change anything. I mean, he got fewer than 25% of the votes in the most recent Hall of Fame voting. You need 75%. I mean, there's no way that he's going to make up anytime soon that other 50%, more than that, that he's going to need to get that majority into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he got 10 more votes than he did the last time around. I believe him when he says that has nothing to do with it, because I don't think coming up and talking about it is going to make anybody more or less, you know, worthy of giving him a vote for the Hall of Fame. So I believe him that he wanted to come out, get this off of his chest, tell his family, tell his parents, tell his teammates, tell his former managers, tell everybody in baseball, tell Commissioner Seelig, get this over with. And he wants to get on with his life. And part of getting on with his life is getting back in baseball. And like I said, there's no way that he would have been able to get back in baseball if he had not come out with this.
We're talking with Brian Feldman. He's the Cardinals reporter for 101 ESPN in St. Louis. We're talking about Mark McGwire. We're also going to touch on Matt Holliday here in this Press Box podcast. What should happen to the home run records that McGwire set? Should they be expunged from the books? Should there be an asterisk? Hey, it happened. It was a part of the game, part of that era, and move forward.
I mean, I'm not one to decide that, but if it was up to me, clearly, I mean, I would give it back to Roger Maris. I mean, I think it is a grave injustice that everything that the Maris family went through, with Mark McGwire breaking the record and then Barry Bonds breaking the record, and we know what Barry Bonds has done, and now we officially know what Mark McGwire has done and Sammy Sosa as well. It's a grave injustice to me that Roger Maris is not the official single-season home run king at 61 home runs back in, I believe, 1961. Now, if I had to, if I had my choice, I would just wipe out the steroid era and all the records that were broken. But as far as it is right now, Barry Bonds is still the home run king.
And you know what? I agree with you, and here's why. And I know there's two separate entities that control this, one that would overlook the records and then the people that vote for the Hall of Fame. But I think it's hypocritical if you're not going to vote him into the Hall of Fame because he cheated, but you're not going to do away with the records. I think that's hypocritical. I think something has to be amended there, because just for Roger Maris and that family, his name should be at the top of the record books. So, all right, anyway, let's move on to Matt Holliday, $120 million. Did the Cardinals go overboard?
I don't think so. They had to give essentially Boris and Holiday what they wanted, or at least come to some sort of an agreement, because if they would have just taken the next highest offer that they had, which was painfully low, we know that the Red Sox offered 5 years for $82.5 million, which is not even close to what they were looking for, and the Cardinals just went a bit over that, that would not have gotten this deal done. They would not have just signed for the best long-term deal that they could. John Mozeliak admitted that they were worried that he was going to take a one-year $20 million deal with some other team and then try free agency again next year. So while teams are saying, oh, 7 for 120, did they go overboard? I can't believe he got that much money. If the Cardinals did not go that high, he would have signed a one-year deal with somebody else, and he would have tried this again next year. So in order to get Matt Holliday locked up, they had to go the 7 for 120, and that was a lot less than Scott Boras was asking for originally when he was going after the type of deal that Mark Teixeira got last offseason.
You know, when Matt Holliday had his press conference and he said, oh, I had options, and you know, he certainly didn't talk about those, but was that his option of just taking that 1 year out? Because there really weren't any other teams this year that were looking long-term, correct?
That's pretty much what we're assuming now. Scott Boras and Matt Holliday, obviously, they're not going to come out and say exactly what options they had and what the contract offers were for, but it is quite obvious, and we have heard many experts that have talked to sources within each clubhouse that are shocked that the Cardinals gave this much money to Matt Holliday, and that means that there was nobody else even in the realm of 7 years, $120 million of being offered to Matt Holliday. Now, like I said, the other options were 1 year with somebody else, try free agency again next year. That's what we're pretty much assuming, because no one even came close to what the Cardinals offered.
We're on our Press Box podcast with Brian Feldman this week, Cardinals reporter at 101 ESPN in St. Louis. What happens now, a couple of years from today, when Albert Pujols' contract is up, when you look at guys like Adam Wainwright that need to be re-signed? Do the Cardinals have the money to keep this team intact, the core players?
Well, from what I've heard, they might have no choice, with Albert most likely getting done next offseason because he's a free agent after 2011. He signed through 2010, and then they have a team option for in 2011 that they'll obviously pick up. They're going to get that done next offseason. They're not going to let Albert Pujols go to free agency, because if he gets to free agency and it's a free-for-all and teams like the Yankees and whoever else wants to start offering $30, $35 million a year and start getting into crazy money that there's no way the Cardinals could afford, I mean, he'd be gone. So they're going to get something done next offseason, and with the commitment they made to bringing Matt Holliday back, I believe Albert will stick around, because he's here in St. Louis. His whole family's here. His whole life is here. He's close to Kansas City, where he's originally from, where he grew up. And in order to have Albert and Matt Holliday at the prices that they are going to command and keep a competitive team with the other 23 players on the roster, there may not be a choice. They might have to raise payroll, because if you start saying, okay, 17 a year for Matt Holliday and then 24, 25, maybe 26 a year for Albert Pujols, when you combine those two and you start talking into the well into the 40% of your entire payroll being tied up into two guys, I mean, that is a lot of money to tie up into two guys when you still have 23 other players on the roster that you have to pay. So they may not have a choice. They've been going with about $100 million payroll these last couple seasons. They may have to go up to about 110, 115.
And then, of course, that'll probably be passed along in the way of ticket price increases. So the fans will feel the brunt of that, I'm sure. Hey, what? All right, so Holliday's 30. He's going to be 37 by the time this contract is over. I mean, in your mind, to say, yeah, this is a good deal, looking ahead now, what does Matt Holliday have to do with the Cardinals? I don't want to say, boy, he's got to bring them a World Series, because it takes so much more than just one player. But what do you see him needing to do over the span of this contract to where we can look back and say, you know what, this was a good deal for the Cardinals?
Well, in the short term, what he needs to do is continue to do what he did. Now, he doesn't have to hit in the 350s, which is what he did pretty much in the last couple months with the Cardinals. But you take everything he's done in his career with the Colorado Rockies and then combined with the A's and here with the Cardinals, all of his career numbers, if he continues to do what he has done over these next few seasons, in the short term, this contract will be worth it. And we have no reason to believe that with as hard as Matt Holliday works, that he will do anything less than he has done, especially being here in the National League and facing the pitchers that he faces. Now, the question is going to be, like you said, this contract will be up well into his 30s. I mean, he's going to be 30 on opening day, so it'll be about 36, I believe, in the last year of the contract. And what is he going to be like? What type of player will he be once he gets to 34, 35, 36 years old? We've seen with players, once you get older and you start having these nagging injuries and you don't get over them as fast, and they start going a little bit longer, maybe you have to go on the DL at a time when you're 35, when you would not have had to go on the DL when you were 28, 29 years old. We saw Scott Rolen, where he ran into Heath Choi, I believe, in 2005. His shoulder was done. because he was much older at that time. He had no power in that shoulder, and the Cardinals were stuck with a contract that at the time when they signed, okay, you got a great player in Scott Rolen, but they had 3 years and $36 million left on that deal because he just couldn't get healthy again. Is that going to happen where Holiday has some sort of injury and he can't get over it and they're stuck with, you know, 3 years and $17 a year at the very end of it, and you have to start looking at trying to move that contract? Oh, by the way, he has a full no-trade clause. That's going to be the issue to me. What type of player is he? Can he stay healthy? And is he still effective? Worth the type of money he's going to be making well into his 30s?
Yeah, it's a risk, but you know what? If it pays off, at least on the front end of it, then you can deal with that heartache down the road, I guess.
Yeah, it's a risk they had to take, because if they lost Matt Holiday, this team is significantly worse from where they were at this point, you know, or at the end of last season, because you remember what they were like before Matt Holiday came and what they were like after Matt Holiday came. They had Ryan Ludwig hitting cleanup. They had Colby Rasmus there for a little bit. I mean, this was a team that was struggling on offense. In May, they were the only team in Major League Baseball to score fewer than 100 runs. That was the single worst offensive month in franchise history. I mean, it was bad before Matt Holiday got there. Nobody was hitting, and teams were just walking Albert, and that's just kind of the way it was. Once Matt Holiday got here and he was another thumper in the middle of the lineup, they were much, much, much better. And if they lost Matt Holiday, it was going to be a real problem, because there's nobody else in the free agent market that was going to be able to provide the amount of, you know, protection for Albert that Matt Holiday did. So it's a risk, but it's a risk they had to take.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching those two hit back-to-back, I'll tell you. And the winter warm-up is this weekend. I'm getting ready for baseball. Brian Feldman, the Cardinals reporter for 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Thanks for your time and great insight on our Press Box podcast today.
Very welcome.